Daniel chapter 9 verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee what? To give thee skill and understanding. Upon the realization of the fact that in the administration of the government of God upon the face of the earth, the office of man cannot be excluded. And so you hear in scriptures like Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 that says, I sought for a man to make up among them, to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap, to stand before me on behalf of the land. You know, those are three strategic assignments that is the placement of men in the administration of God upon the face of the earth. Now, Daniel is a good example of such a person that provided his heart as a means of making the hedge, and so that through his petition and supplication he could provoke the intervention of God in the layout of the kingdom. Prayer affords heaven the permission to intervene, because it happens to be that the government of the earth has been willed to man by a policy statement of his in the book of Psalms 115 verse 16. And as such, if the spirit realm will invade the earth realm on basis of Psalms 115 verse 16, it will be by the permission of man. That's what prayer is. Prayer is that earthly permission that makes God righteous to invade the Etrem, given that man has been apportioned control over this landscape. Now, so this man Daniel, having understood that, rose up to make up the hedge for Israel. And so we saw the protocol of how he was engaging God for his people. First of all, he began by confessing his own sin and confessing the sin of Israel. Hallelujah. Because he was occupying at that point an office called the Son of Man, the office of the Son of Man. It's like the House of Rep. You have a constituency that you represent, and the burden of that constituency is laid upon you. And so you are saddled with the responsibility to interface with heaven on the behalf of your constituency. In fact, you will be standing there presenting the sin of your constituencies as if it was your own sin. What he was doing was making up a hedge. He was filling up the gap. And most often, the gap finds expression in the human requirement that is supposed to be part of the secretary to occasion the intention of the will of God upon the face of the earth. When he discovered that that gap is almost always occasioned by the absence of men in their strategic priestly place to facilitate the invasion of heaven upon the face of the earth, Daniel decided to give himself to supplication, to give himself to what? To intercession. Can you give yourself? Now, this kind of a life is not a life that a man will choose if he had an option. This one. It's a life that is heavily laden with sacrifice. It's a life that will not be understood by the normal logical person. It is similar to the kind of life Jesus had to take upon himself in order to procure salvation. It's in that context Jesus was Son of Man. And everything he did, are you with me? Everything he did was not because of him. He was doing it on the behalf of humanity. So it was, he was, the burden of humanity was him. The affliction that humanity would have carried was laid on him. So when you come to fill in the gap, are you with me? Your life will become more bitter than it was designed to be, because the challenges of the people that consist of the constituency that you are standing for, you will feel a little of it. Even in the presence of God, you are carrying your own sin, and it's as if you committed all the sin that they committed. Sometimes when you are registered, are you with me, as a barrister in that context, to bear the prayers of your family, to bear the prayers of your territory, to bear the prayers of your nation, the devil might discover that you are the administrative system and infrastructure that God has put in place in order to bridge the gap that will give him access to that constituency. He might discover. And then he will bring the affliction that's meant for the community. Do you understand that? And then you begin to see that your life happens to be more difficult. Are you here? Your life what? Happens to be more difficult than the life of the ordinary man that is not engaging the kingdom. And then at some point you be frustrated. Why is it that your own path is always rugged? The truth of the matter is that there's no kingdom agenda that we can accomplish without that word called sacrifice. Jesus uttered our salvation by sacrifice. That was how the path was uttered. And everyone that is a follower of Jesus will be a partaker of the way he uttered this path that we are working on. Sacrifice is something that we cannot isolate from the protocol. It is a requirement. In fact, it is a proof that you are accurate. And the Bible reveals that as this man came to terms with the responsibility that was on his life in this regard, his prayer point changed. His prayer point was not prayer for one. It was prayer for a constituency. His heart, you could see that there was an enlargement. The way he thought, the way he prayed, the burden he carried was not burden for one. It was what? Burden for a constituency. So for such a particular person, God, when God is relating to such a person, he is actually relating to such a person as if he's relating to his constituency. Are you still with me? The secrets that will be available to that person were meant for the constituency, because in the court of heaven, that constituency is represented by the Son of Man. Okay? Now, so there were peculiar dealings that Daniel had, which were dealings that were meant for his constituency. There were cherubims and angels that came to strengthen him and to fellowship with him. Those privileges that he experienced were not privileges that were meant for him as an individual. They were meant for him in his capacity as a Son of Man. You get that? All right. So he said when the supplication went on, he saw this angel. He used to see him in dreams before. Normally, Gabriel would for him for sleep to knock him out, and then he would appear in sleep. But the emergency that was on ground was critical. He couldn't wait for Daniel to sleep again. So he appeared in broad daylight. He said, couldn't wait for him to sleep. And when he showed up, he said, oh, Daniel. Hallelujah. That means Daniel's name is reigning somewhere. Oh, Daniel. You see, it's possible for you to be doing one of the most strategic labors of heaven, and you are not aware. Because maybe the scourge that you are going through. You know, Pastor Gideon he sent me some text from here to Ejule. His tires picked nails. And then if you have changed the tire of a jeep before. If you have, I know you don't know what. If you change one tire, and you have to change one tire for, change that same tire in the neighborhood of 1 week, it's a burden. Why is it that the challenge that this kind of people go through is actually designed not to make them discern the strategic nature of their lives, their input, their ministry to the advancement of the kingdom of God? Now, when Angel Gabriel landed, he exclaimed. The exclamation was a revelation of how strategically placed this guy was in the agenda of God to unveil, to form, to serve as a conduit, a funnel, to trap the dimensions of God and to facilitate such dimensions in Israel as a nation. So he came and he said, what? Oh, Daniel. Like for Mary, the angel came, the same angel, he said, blessed art thou. Meanwhile, that was the time that she was suffering. The condition she was in was, she was almost rejected. She was going to be an outcast. Her name will be blotted out from the lexicon of her family because she took in without marriage. The society will not accept her. She will not marry again except she goes to the land of the hidden. Probably somebody might have mercy on her, but in that structured society, she didn't have a place. It was in that context, in those circumstances, that Gabriel came and said, ah, blessed art thou. Blessed art thou amongst women. Your name has been picked. It's as if when heaven decides to alight upon a man, circumstances and situations are orchestrated that makes his condition look like a curse. But what the earth calls a curse, heaven calls blessed art thou. Now, these are actually the integral context in which profit is made for the kingdom. There must be a man that is on the line. Hallelujah. Blessed art thou amongst women. See, the holy thing, this holy seed that you are conceived of, this seed shall be called. Now, I hope you know the angel was a messenger. He must have heard these utterances from somewhere, and he was just relaying them. So when he showed up in Daniel's case, he said, oh Daniel. It was as if he had made so many attempts to reach Daniel, to communicate with him through signs. In this kind of labor, there are skills. But the communication was not established until he eventually had to unveil himself, and he came out plain. Then he invoked his name. That was to show how strategic he was. And he said, I am come to do what? To give you skills and understanding. Skills. But in doing business that requires politics with the mortal realm, you need what? Skills. I have seen how you have been laboring, you have been consistent, but all your labors put together without skills is not making so much progress in the realm that you are trying to engage. I have come to do what? To give you skills and understand. Now, in the course of this study, I was just doing this scripture, waiting for my friend to come, actually. So he has come. But remember, there's something called skills and what? Understand. Sometimes you need to be brought into the tutelage of skills and understanding by the hand of an angel. Because those angels have been trafficking. They have been trafficking in kingdom business, in the high tower. They have one or two things to share with you that will enable you become more accurate in your delivery and your interface with the realm of the immortal. He said, I have come to give you skills and understanding. Now, I would like us to understand what exactly Daniel was doing. Daniel was what? Son of man. He was standing on the behalf of Israel. He was doing the work of priesthood. And he was doing it with all his heart. He was doing it with all his might. He was trying to create a pathway for God to visit again. And according to the prophecy of, you know, the Bible says he understood by books. So the prophecies that are gone ahead, he had traced the timings, he had traced the seasons, and his prayers were being conducted in alignment with timings, in alignment with seasons. I think that's, he has tried. But the angel came and said, we have seen your effort. You are trying. But I have come to give you skills. And what? And understand. Skills. Let's talk about skills before my friend comes up. Skills. Don't forget our lecture yesterday. We talked about the gift of word of knowledge and the gift of word of wisdom. Meanwhile, in engagement, in spiritual engagement, according to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, we know not what to pray as we ought to. Now, so we have that resident infirmity as human beings, and it therefore means that our capacity as human beings is not sufficient for us to transact with effectively and accurately. So we need some form of enablement that will give us capacity, that will give us insight, further insight that is not available on the strength of our humanity, in order for us to be able to transact effectively. Are you with me? Good. And so, in order for us to gain these skills, that means the supernatural dimension must be added. Reduce the volume a little. The supernatural dimension must be added to our natural dimension for us to have skills. Now, you might be a good footballer. Very good footballer. Okay. There are a lot of preachers here today. Wonderful preacher. The power of God moves in your ministry and all of that. There's something called utterance. Utterance. The level of impact you can actually make in ministry is determined by how much of utterance you have available. Because what you are trying to communicate is not something that you learn in the classroom or you are taught. It is something that is revealed, and you will need spiritual language to communicate it. Hallelujah. So utterance is spirit-based communication that relates the heart of God to the heart of man. It doesn't step it down. It relates it. Now, so a man that has utterance is far more effective in doing spiritual business than a man that understands English. The man that has utterance has the skills for the business. He has the enablement for the business. But the man that understands English can get us confused. But the man with utterance can bring out the heart of God, and even the least among us can comprehend what God is emphasizing. Daniel had labored as an intercessor, and at this point in time, God wanted to make him skillful. So it is possible for you to be an intercessor, but you are not skillful. His name was reigning in heaven, but his skill was deficient. He was deficient in the area of what? No skill. He was crude in his approach. He was doing the best he could do with his capacity in humanity, and that was not sufficient for the kind of navigation that was required in the spirit realm in order to invoke the powers that will occasion that which he was asking for. He needed more penetration. He needed more precision. And the angel came and says, time for you to be brought into skills. Please help me preach to your neighbor. You need skills. Skills and understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so Romans 8 speaks about our inadequacy to transact in spiritual business. And the cure for that our inadequacy is the Spirit of God that helpeth our infirmities. No, there are two things that the angel said Daniel needed. He needed skills, and then he needed understanding. Hallelujah. You see, as we go on, you will soon find out that the skills you need comes through word of knowledge. And the understanding you need comes through word of wisdom. Notice that the Bible says we know not. So there is an informative gap. According to the book of Romans chapter 8, there is an informative gap. And we saw yesterday that word of knowledge is what? It's informative. Yeah. There's an informative gap when you are doing spiritual litigation, spiritual legislation. That informative gap is deep, and it will have to be drawn from the Spirit himself to give you the skills that is required in order for you to strike accurately. Hallelujah. Now, we're praying for a lady to be delivered from a spirit. When she was eventually delivered, she came to the office and said, "Pastor, how did you know that the only way to free me was on my head?" I told her I didn't know. The skills came from what? The informative dimensions that precipitated out of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? The skills. People are doing deliverance. They know what to do. They understand their authority in Christ. They know the kind of commands to give to demons to go. But the case required something much more than the average. They know that such authority has been given. So they locked the demons on a secret. And as long as you are not exploiting that secret, you can shake the demons and shake their base. But when you are done with your exercise, they will come back and file in accordingly. Until you are aided, and the skills will come when you have access to informative dimensions that are spiritually aided. And then it seems as if you know where to touch, you know what to say, you know how. Those skills come through word of knowledge. So that scripture is actually referring to the necessity of those gifts in doing spiritual transactions. I've come to do what? To give you skills and... So we saw that word of knowledge is informative, and word of wisdom is directive. Word of knowledge gives us information so that we have a robust data bank for engagement. Word of wisdom gives us direction so that we have the wisdom to solve a problem. So in spiritual things, as we transact with God, there are sometimes we find problems. And there are sometimes you will find situations that require more information. Hallelujah. Who is worthy to open the book and to lose the seals thereof? That's a problem. By the time the requirements for opening the book were spelled out, it was obvious that it was a problem on ground. So he stood somewhere and he was weeping. When the solution came to the problem, he was not aware. And then another position precipitated in the courtroom of heaven. So the angel that was the archangel for that particular legislative conference had to move from the court and went to where he was weeping. Situation has changed. People stopped weeping 30 minutes ago. You are still weeping because you don't have skills. The balances have shifted again. Weep not. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah, he prevailed in the court.
Now there is one that has the authority and stature to open the book, to loose the seals, and to look there. So he was cleaning his eye late, but thank God he was coming on. Can you see how incapacitated we will be without skills? My prayer for us tonight is that God will give us skills. And what? Now, you know, before you can solve a problem, you must understand it. So word of knowledge gives you a heightened insight that reveals the mechanism of the problem and also prescribes a solution for it in a directive manner. Do you understand what I'm talking about? All right. Word of wisdom operated in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, when disciples multiply, suddenly murmurings, which was not part of the apostolic life, came into the camp, and people were complaining that the daily distribution was not reaching them. Their widows were neglected. The apostle said no. And that utterance that Peter gave was an utterance that was born after he had interfaced with God in the place of prayer. Wisdom had come. So when Peter was speaking thereafter, he was speaking with understanding. He said it's not reason. Those utterances were utterances of understanding. He understood the context of the situation. He knew the source of the situation. He knew the intention of the situation. He knew that the intention from the kingdom of darkness was to make them veer off from their apostolic calling, which required that they will attend, give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The intention was that they should veer off and then go into the ministry of serving tables. That was the intention. That was the reason why Satan was stirring that up. He said, it's not reason. It's not wise to leave the ministry of the word of God and to serve tables. Hallelujah. So, from that first statement, you could see that he had understood the crisis. Then the word of wisdom now went into operation. He said, choose from among you. That's directive. That was how the offices of the deacons were installed. It was installed because of an onslaught from the kingdom of darkness to destabilize the holding hub of the move of God at that time. They entered into the spirit and they brought understanding. So when we do spiritual warfare, you fight spiritual wars on the strength of skills, which is informative, and what? Understanding, which is directive. So let's set up a different set of functionaries in the house of God whose assignment is administrative. They will take care of this business. Honest men, full of the Holy Ghost, of good report, while we maintain our jurisdiction, our domain, giving ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Satan wanted to dismantle that move, but he was handicapped because there were men that were mature enough to reach into skills and what? To understand. See, a time will come in the administration of your life, you come to realize you need more than learning to succeed. You will need spiritual input in your own life to succeed, because there are several times where the situations that bedevil you are orchestrated from the spirit realm. What you learned in physics, the use of a barometer, will not be sufficient in quenching that fire. You will need skills. And it is in this context, when we don't have access to skills, that we now formulate in the flesh and we create time bombs that the devil eventually gets to explode in years to come. Time bombs. Should I say something? My experience in ministry, I found this one. Let's say I'm a success-driven person. I want to succeed. That's the reason why I'm in ministry. We are not in ministry to succeed. In fact, success. I think we have corrupted the meaning of that word, because our reference is a script that is written concerning us in him. That's our reference. That's what you'll be judged against. That's what you came here to perform. So, but you see, the mundane definition of success has to do with an earthly eye view. So if that earthly eye view is your motivation,
Are you following? So your motivation is not even within the context of the textbook of your life, the book of your life. Something begins to happen to the ministry, and then the numbers begin to fall. First and foremost, your eye view, your passion, your watchword, your motivation, your orientation, which is already beveled, is already wrong. So Satan now comes, and then the number begins to dwindle. You will do many things in the flesh to keep it going. And you know what we said about the flesh, the fallen nature. When the infrastructure of your life, the advancement of your life, the architecture of your life is built on resources drawn from the fallen nature. Hallelujah. Oh, you are not here again. The infrastructure of your life is built on resources from the fallen nature. The implication is that, just like witchcraft, we said, has its roots in the fallen nature. There is this tendency for the carnal man to want to dominate, to want to manipulate, to want to influence, to want to have his way. So you now resort to that carnal nature, manipulate everything so that your idea of success can be preserved. Every other thing can be a variable. And then you are in that boat. And the devil is actually the one determining how the boat rocks. But you think it's your prayer. You're already on the wrong ground because you don't have skill. Without this skill, he will drive you aground. And maybe by the time the vessel will hit the ground, a stone close to the shore, that time you are 74. When you stretch your back, you see that the spinal cord is beveled. Hallelujah. I want to speak in parables. Those of you that are Facebook fans, have you seen somebody on Facebook say, I will destroy all the doctrines that I created before I die? Have you seen that? The vessel has been run aground. The devil knew it would go there. He knew from the beginning when he shifted us out from the main matter, and because there was no skill, the outcome he predicted still came to pass. If a satanic prophet had prophesied that was going to be the outcome on the account of our veering off, would have called him a prophet. But all he did was that he knew that we did not have skills. So the outcome was predictable. There are many infrastructures you are likely to build into your life on the resources, on the architecture of the potential of the fallen nature. Instead of us to go down, God encourages us to go up for skills, not to come down and build. I've seen a lot of wickedness in the body of Christ. You know, those things can be harbored in infrastructure that have their roots where? In the flesh. So instead of us to seek security in the flesh, we should seek skills and understanding. A man that uses manipulation to occupy a position, even if he is destined to occupy it, the devil will come and ask for tax because you used his wrong way to arrive at that place. And he will not ask for it early. He will ask for it when you are weak, so that he will fracture you, and it will be on record that you were fractured. So Daniel had come to the end of himself. The angel came to give him skills. So at every phase in life, at every phase in ministry, there is a direction. That direction, it will deliver you from building a structure on the fallen nature. The direction may not be palatable, may not look wise in the eyes of men, but it makes you a more resourceful agent in bringing profit to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the battles that the kingdom exposes us to requires what? Skills. So that we build upward using tools of heaven, not building downward using tools of the fallen nature. The quarrel that God has with most of what we call ministry today is that the tools with which we have used to build are tools from downward. And every such tool has been programmed to run the vessel aground. I have come to give you what? Skills. And understand. I know a pastor. He was in courtship with the damsel he wanted to marry. She became pregnant. So in that place, I was one of the leaders that they called to sit in the panel to discuss that matter. You know what the guy said? In fact, before we started the discussion, he said, see, because he's a very popular preacher. I speak in parables. Meanwhile, you can't know the preacher. Some people are scanning that. No, it's a long time ago. So let's forget about the preacher and look at the matter. All right. So, hallelujah. A lot of permutations and explanation of the situation came out. Look at it. The thing is not too hard like that. This lady would give birth to this child. You will go through shame. After you have gone through your corridor of shame, God will reinstate you. That's how it works. Your story will change and there will be a lot of suffering in your life. The suffering is a design to purge you from any form of inclination that made this act possible. I know you don't like my gospel, but it is true. It is true. After Baba death with David, did you hear that? Even they put a damsel close to him. In old age, those lessons, he was still under check. He was in order. There are dealings that Baba will bring. Those dealings are waiting to jump on you, but the dealings want you to make a mistake first. When you make a mistake, then they jump. He has set them. So, but he's just waiting for you. You have been moving in the flesh, in the canoe of the flesh. Wow. Then when you wear there off, the dealings, you activate it. It's a program. But you see, the guy had another idea. He said, since he's popular, it's in the interest of the body of Christ for this thing to be secret. We dispersed from the meeting. The camp fragmented. There was no conclusion. But he went on with. So nobody knew. Except those of us that were. So we continued ministry. All of us. You know what God did first? All of us that attended that meeting, he judged all of us, including me. Yes. For 5 years, he left him. You know why he judged us? We could not bring that whole meeting to a point where we ended at the will of God. So, you have already grown in the body of Christ. They brought you for such meeting, and we could not. So, he judged all of us first. I know what I suffered for being in that meeting. I'm not the one that is responsible. Do you understand? For being there, and we did not arrive at God's will for the matter. I know what I suffered. See, there were times that grace left my head. I struggled for long, and I knew when he had mercy on me. The protocol is what? Go through it. That shame, chop on. A time will come, Baba will put double grace upon you. Are you following? Double grace. And nobody will remember that reproach that you went through again. It's only people that understand the kingdom, that know that God, you know his ways are cast in stone. We can't adjust it. This guy did what he wanted to do, right? And then we all continued. And as an elder, you can't say it. But we all suffered punishment. He was the last to be punished. If I mention his name, you will fall. You will fall down. You will fall. From that your seat, you will fall off. It was as if it was walking. But you see, the tools that he used to build the infrastructure are infrastructures of the fallen nature. Instead of us to go and look, reach out for skills, the devil wants us to reach into works that have their roots where? In the fallen nature. Shame will not kill any man. It's a path to redemption most times. There's an issue of pride in your life. God can even allow you to make that mistake. And then you pass through 6 years of shame. As if you are dying. Then you will desire skills. By the time you come out of it, there will be nobody as bright as you. There will be no one as strong as you. Because you refuse to build on the resources of the fallen nature. You despise it. Even though you suffered, you still upheld God's perspective. You will become the strongest in the days to come. That's how God works. We suffered for being on the board. And the guy went and was free. And was... But you know what? He's going to run aground. And that's not a prophecy. That is what will happen. Just like many ministries are running aground. Can we be patient with God to assign us our portions? You know, we are in a season of transition now. You see, what we call church, the way church is managed now, in the few years to come, God will give more insight on how church should be managed more accurately. And His Spirit, new forms of churches will begin to arise that minister to the heart of men. New forms. In various cities, in Abuja, in Port Harcourt. Because what we have as church now, most of it have gone aground. There were infrastructures that God could not build with. And obviously they were lacking in skills and understanding. So cool down. Don't be in a hurry. God is not late. He has His plan. He has what He's doing. Let us keep pace with Him. I say we suffered because we're on the council. For about 2, 3, 4 years, I was struggling in Greece. I know what happens when I handle the scriptures to teach. Even if I have not prayed sufficiently, if I start teaching, oil will come. It draws the oil. I know how I suffered for 5 years. Just because we're on the council. How do you think, how much more will the man that we met for? There is every temptation to think that we can thrive in the flesh. But people that have walked with God know better. The angel came to give Daniel skills and understanding. My prayer tonight is that the Lord God Almighty will descend from heaven and He will give you skills. He will give you strategies, directives. Hallelujah. That will move you into His purpose, and the devil will not be able to lay claim to any of the resources that you used to arrive where you arrived. The president of our fellowship, when we were on campus, he was in a stalemate condition. The lady he wanted to marry, the family refused him marrying her. So his friends called him and said, "This matter is not as hard as you think. Make this girl pregnant. The family will come and beg you to marry." So then he called me and said, "See what people are." I said, you are a pastor now. Then the next time he called me, he said, "It's a girl now that came and said he should go ahead." He called again. That one. And then when he went ahead, he didn't call me again. He had built with what? Fallen nature. That's manipulation. The antidote that God has so that we'll not end up in manipulation is skills and arms. That's how you go up in life. You go up in your walk with God. There's a directive that comes. That directive delivers you from a judgment God is about to release. Directives. And you walk like this, and then a flood comes and packs everything away. And then people die. Deaths. All kinds of deaths. And you are preserved. Skills. And understand. Whereas, building with the infrastructure of the flesh pegs you on a spot and makes you predictable to the devil. So, he doesn't need to fight you again. Anytime he's ready for you, he will come back. But skills, they move you higher. Understanding, you can tackle the devil. Grant us skills and understanding in the name of Jesus. Let us pray that prayer. That God will give skills. That God will